Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Quite a bit to talk about this week, more injuries in the WWE, a new federation looming in the distance, and a really interesting video making its way around the internet that really does not speak highly of AEW's women's division. So let's get first to the injuries. WWE possibly dealing with two more injuries, as it was reported that Tony D'Angelo from NXT could have suffered a potential shoulder injury at a show in Florida. There were some video and some picture surfacing of doctors in attendance at ringside being in the ring talking to D'Angelo. Obviously doesn't seem to be a work, so this is obviously bad news. If it's a shoulder injury, maybe they can still have D'Angelo come out and do his thing with his group, but probably not in the ring for a while. And then we get to the SmackDown on Friday night. And while I did not notice anything, I got sent pictures and video of Xia Li being attended to after her match with Lacey Evans. And clearly the doctors are in the ring. Clearly she was hurt, and she was taken out through the crowd. She was taken out through the crowd because I guess Ronda Rousey was coming down the rampway, and they didn't want to take her out that way. So they literally took her out through the crowd. I don't know the extent of her injury. I don't know whether it's just something minor and they wanted to be precautionary, or if this is more major, but whew. People are dropping like flies in the world of professional wrestling here. And I have to tell you that the WWE, who brags a lot about, well, you know, our matches aren't geared in that way that it would be conducive to suffering a lot of injuries, certainly do suffer a lot of injuries. They most certainly do. So we were talking about that a little bit on Friday's show, and ironically, two more come up. Not sure what this is all about, but Mike, they're dropping like flies over here in the WWE currently.
Right. And I mean, it looked like what they were doing with D'Angelo, it looked like sort of the FBI gimmick from ECW was what they were doing with D'Angelo. And you're right, he could come out and be just kind of a manager or whatever type thing, at least for a short period of time. You know, so I'm not saying how serious or how not serious it is, but if they did that with Xia Li, I mean, and if you look at the match, I think if you go back and look at the match, and it was a quick match, more so than normal, because it almost seemed like the minute they got in there, boom, 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 Lacey Evans hits her with the women's right, and the match is over. Okay? So, you know, something happened there that they had to take her out right away, and I didn't see the referee give the X symbol, but it just seemed like that match was inordinately fast. And I don't think they wanted that match to be that fast.
Yeah, well, I did notice that she ran at her okay, so I wouldn't think it would be a leg injury or any kind of an injury that prevent her from moving, because the last move of the match was that women's right. And if she legit hit her with it, okay, maybe you knocked her out, or okay, maybe you hurt her jaw, or even knocked a tooth out or something. That's not really caused for doctors to be in the ring, unless she concussed her. Now, I don't know. I went back and I watched it, and it sure as hell did not look like she, you know, gave her a stiff shot with that, but I could be wrong. I don't know. What I do know is that the pictures don't lie, and I don't know why they would let her go out through the audience with doctor's help. If she was perfectly fine, they didn't show it, so it's obviously not something they wanted to use to say, look at the power of that punch. She's got to be helped out, otherwise that would have been on camera. So legitimately, I don't know whether her injury is something that is just one night and she's going to recover, or there's something more wrong. We'll get into the pros and cons of that match a little bit later on. But once again, Todd, here we go. WWE suffers two injuries since Friday when we talked about these injuries.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it looks like you said, they're dropping more like flies. First was Xia Li on Friday Night SmackDown 2 nights ago, and was it last night or something with Tony D'Angelo got hurt? It's not looking good at this moment. It's
becoming an epidemic. I mean, every time they hold a card, somebody else gets hurt, and right now you've got several people out. Now, I understand Tony D'Angelo's not the biggest name, and Xia Li was barely wrestling, but that's not the point. The point is, what the hell is going on? And we had speculated, you know, if you don't use people for a long period of time and then you have them go in the ring, maybe they're rusty. Maybe there's a little ring rust involved. You had Lacey Evans, who hadn't done anything in a long time, and I don't know when the last time Xia Li had a match was, but on television it sure the hell was a long time. That's not the case with Tony D'Angelo, but I don't know. I know these things happen, but wow, they're happening at an alarming rate now. So I don't know what to tell you. We will keep you updated on what's going on with Xia Li and Tony D'Angelo. Aside from that, there's another video surfacing. I'm sure some of you have seen it, from AEW, showing Marina Shafir and Thunder Rosa from AEW. And I watched it 4 or 5 times because I said, well, let me just see if there's miscommunication, or let me see if there's an issue. Maybe one of them is hurt. Maybe something happened. This is just really, really poor wrestling. I don't think they were even calling moves. I don't know how you can put up with this. If you have not seen the match or the video, it's abysmal. Okay, it's abysmal. I would expect more from students learning to wrestle. And we're talking about Thunder Rosa and Marina Shafir, who've been, you know, highly touted. I don't know what the hell happened, but I do know this: you can't put that kind of a match on and then whine and complain, I'm not being used properly, I don't think I should be this, this, that, and the other thing. This is a travesty. Now, I know Thunder Rosa is very capable of putting on a great wrestling match. I've seen her do it. But I've seen Marina do the same thing. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter whether they don't work well together and they didn't call the spots. It doesn't matter whether one of them miscommunicated. It doesn't matter whether they don't like each other and they're not kawaii. I don't care what it is. If you're Tony Khan, you have to sit down and tell them that can't happen anymore. What happened out there cannot happen anymore, because that's a mockery. And for all the people, you know, who are out there saying, well, you know, AEW women's division needs a little bit of bolstering, but they're at the same level as WWE. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, the worst WWE women's match I've seen in 10 years does not equal that. This does not equal this. literally can't put a sharpshooter on, literally can't reach around to grab her, literally has no idea what the other person's doing while they're in the ring. They're just like, well, whatever, I don't know what you're trying to do, and I'm not cooperating. Nobody's calling spots. That's what it looked like. Looked like everybody's just out there winging it. It was awful. It was embarrassingly awful. And if you're Thunder Rosa, you got to understand that you can't have this. You can't have this. You can't have it if you're Maria Safair either, because you're trying to make a name for yourself. But, I mean, if you're Thunder Rosa, you can't have this, because it tarnishes your reputation. You know, think back on the greats, whether it be male or female, and you say, well, they've had matches that weren't stellar matches, but they've not had this. The top people, they've just not had this. Not where it's so obviously fake. It's so obviously staged. And you so obviously have no idea what you're doing from point A to point B that you just say to yourself, okay. I mean, I've seen matches where the women involved and men at sometimes literally got lost, and they really don't know what's coming next, and it was still better than this. If you have not seen the video, it's floating around out there on the internet. I suggest you take a look at it, because they're going to do their best to try to keep this off, I'm sure. But this is where you separate being a fan and wanting to be the buddy of all the wrestlers in the back, and where you separate that from the businessman who says, I can't have this, and I won't have it. Okay, so something has to give. And to be honest with you, I'd like to hear the excuse for this. Because Thunder Rosa, while she has been a very good wrestler, she has not exactly been what I call a shrinking violet, okay? She has had her mouth open to any microphone that will come within 8 miles of her, saying how, I don't think I'm being treated this way, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And then you go out there and pull on that bullshit. I don't care if you think it's not your fault. You're in there with another professional wrestler. You have the obligation to make this match decent. And it looks like you didn't even talk it out. It looks like you went in there and said, well, I guess we'll just figure it out when we get in the ring, because we're so good. You see, this is a problem, folks, and I'm seeing it culturally. It's not just in professional wrestling. I'm seeing it culturally where people say, oh, it's fine. It's good enough. I don't have to put in all that extra effort. I see it in the music business. I see it in the acting business. I see it in sports. I see it all over the place. That's good enough. I don't need to rewrite the chapters of my novel because it's good enough. I don't need to think about adding extra tracks in my music or oh, there's a little bit of a problem. I don't need to redo that. Nobody's going to notice that. Everything's good enough. Now, I don't know whether it's just the modern way of thinking, laziness, or I don't know what the hell it is. But the only way you're going to succeed on a mainstream level with things like this is if nothing is ever good enough. I want the Daniel Bryans who come back after a 4.5-star match and say, why the F was that not a 5-star match? What the hell did I do wrong? Yeah, everybody's blowing up the internet with how great it is, but I know I blew a spot, and that's unacceptable. I'm pissed at myself, because those are the people who truly care. The people who go back after that fiasco and shrug their shoulders and say, it's all right. No, it's not all right. It's not all right. And that should not be your attitude. Your attitude should be you're mortified. Absolutely mortified. Now, again, I've watched it several times, and there are times when I honestly feel like, are they trying to sabotage each other? Because it looks like they're not cooperating. Looks like it's just like, yeah, I'm not doing that move. Go ahead, try to put me in it. I'm not doing it. I don't know what it is, but someone has to sit down with them and find out what it is, because that can never happen again, Mike. That, I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't, I highly suggest you watch it.
Okay. You know, As I recall, I don't remember Marina, when she was in WWE, I don't remember Marina Shafir giving the WWE any problems like this.
Mm.
So obviously, obviously it's something that these two women don't get along or whatever. I mean, what you want to see happen is what happened when Naomi came back after a long time of rest and put on a near five-star match with Charlotte. After all that time, after she could have actually gotten hurt coming in after all that time, but she was a professional and she did her job and they both worked well together and they both made each one look good, right? That's your job. Your job as a professional wrestler is to work with the guy. You may or may not like him, but work with him and make him look good. That's your job.
Yeah, and I got to tell you that, and I'm not saying I know what happened, because honestly, I don't. I'm still mesmerized by it, because I'm looking at it saying, how can something go this bad? But Thunder Rosa, this is not the first time Thunder Rosa's had problems working with somebody. This is not the first time that Thunder Rosa's attitude is basically like, well, I don't want to work with these people. Well, I don't know what to tell you. But if that's the fact, if you've got someone there, and I'm just speculating, but if you've got someone there saying, I don't want Marina Shafir coming in here and looking good, so I'm just going to make her look bad, you can't have somebody like that. Now, remember when I think it was Ivelisse that she worked with, and Ivelisse had nothing good to say about her. And everyone blamed Ivelisse and said it was Ivelisse's fault. That she had the attitude. She was the one who was screwing it up and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what to tell you. All I know is this can't happen. I don't know if you've seen it, Tom, but if you haven't, I highly suggest you look it up, because this looks like two people who don't know how to wrestle trying to get through a wrestling match when they have no clue what they're doing.
No, actually, I did see it. I have a channel on YouTube that I belong to, and it popped up. This was absolutely – at first, I was so dumbfounded I had to watch it over again. Like, what is going on? Now, Lord knows I've worked with people that when we were wrestling that that didn't want to go through the match, and we still went through it, and we never put on something that bad. It brings me back to when we were watching the first One Night Stand, and Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit clearly pissed at each other. They still put on a good match. What is the excuse? That's what I'm wondering. What is the reason for such an I don't think abysmal is even a descriptive word that gives it justice. It was so bad. And, you know, when it's something that bad, Marcus, and you're working with somebody and you're not calling it in the ring, you take that chance of getting injured. And I don't care. Thunder Rosa's been all over, but Thunder Rosa needs to shut her mouth, do her job, collect her money, and go along her merry way, or quit. You sign the contract. If you're not being used, well, I got news. There's a reason you're not being used.
Well, it goes even deeper than that, and I'll tell you why. I always said, if you don't make your opponent look good, when your job is, maybe you're going to beat your opponent. Maybe the script says you're beating your opponent. But you want to make them look good. You know, the promoter says, well, I want this person to be a major part of my arsenal, so they have to look good. And you make them look that bad, no one wants to work with you anymore because they don't trust you. They say, well, you're not going to make me look good. You're going to make me look like a horse's ass. I don't want to work with someone who is purposely or supposedly, maybe not purposely, but whatever, who is not making me look good. Because then that makes me look bad to the eyes of the promoter. That makes me look bad to the eyes of my peers. When I'm not bad, I'm just working with someone who's not cooperating. So if that is the case, she's cutting her own throat. It's not like people are going to say, well, Marina Shafir is terrible. They're going to say, why is Thunder Rosa not cooperating with her? Why is she not making her look halfway decent? And if she won't do it with her, how about if she doesn't do it with me? Do I want to take the chance to get in that ring on a televised match and look that bad and ruin my own career? No, I do not. So don't book me against Thunder Rosa. You got a problem when these things happen. I'm telling you, it's not pretty, Todd. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a couple of spots in there that I genuinely said, if this was back in the old COVID era where there was no fans, I would have cut the tape and said, stop, you guys got to start over.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I watched that match too. Like you said, it looks like they were not communicating with each other in the ring. It looks like they're purposely messing spots up in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was again, I'm not saying it was purposely done, but man, I can't imagine any scenario in which it wasn't, because you're two professionals. You know what I mean? I don't know where it goes wrong then. What happened? If you tell me, well, one of them was injured and got injured and was trying to struggle through the match, okay. But then we would have known that by now. So that's not the case. So you have two options. One is they were purposely not communicating with each other because maybe they don't like each other, or they just weren't calling a match, or they were lazy and they didn't plan out a match and thought they'd just call it in the ring. Or two, one of the two of them was trying to make the other one look bad. Or maybe both of them was trying to make each other look bad. I don't know. What I do know is it's not something you can do. So I'm going to tell you what I would do. Now, Tony Khan's not going to do it. Because Tony Khan wants to be the friend of all the wrestlers. He wants to be the guy who's buddy-buddy and sitting at the sports games with them with his popcorn, eating out of the same popcorn box. I would tell him, you're not getting paid. In fact, you're getting fined. Because what you did hurt the reputation of this federation. And you're not taking it seriously. And I don't like that. So if you don't like it, and you got a problem with it, fine. Then I'll give you your walking papers. But I'm not putting up with that. And if you think I am putting up with that, you've got the wrong guy. Because I'm not. Let them sit on that, and maybe they won't do that anymore. I mean, this was almost as bad. It may have been worse. The only reason I say it might not be worse is because the match I'm going to compare it to was at a WrestleMania, but remember when Goldberg and Brock Lesnar fought and they wouldn't fight? Steve Austin's a special guest referee, and they're just like, yeah, we're not doing anything. Goldberg knew he was leaving. Brock knew he was leaving. They don't care. They were just like, yeah, we're not doing anything. Well, this was even worse to an extent because they were trying to do stuff and just couldn't, opposed to just saying we're purposely not going to do anything. So I don't know. If people listening have not seen it, go check it out. It's Thunder Rosa versus Marina Shafir, and whew, can't have this, Tony. This is the time for you to show me and other people that you're not kidding about this federation, and you need to do something. You need to make a public statement on this and say what happened here is unprofessional, and we're not going to put up with it, and that's it, you know. Otherwise, people are just going to say, okay, well, why should I give this women's division the time of day? This is not two schlubs, by the way. This is not two people that you say, oh, well, they were two people from the training facility, and they got nervous, and, you know, things happen. They've wrestled five matches in their whole life. No, no, not at all. You can't have this. Anyway, moving on. We may have another federation to deal with pretty soon because Freddie Prinze Jr. has declared he not only wants to, he is going to start his own federation. Says he has backers, says he has the money, says he has the ducks in a row, so to speak, and he's going to start recruiting pretty soon. As a matter of fact, he kind of said that he's wants to start with Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux. as sort of a first signing or whatever you want to call it. Now, does he have AEW Tony Khan sort of money? No. Here's what Freddie Prinze does have, though, and I've heard a lot of people sort of snicker at it and say, oh, Freddie Prinze Jr., what's he going to do, hire a bunch of indie guys? And no, well, don't snicker at it, and I'll tell you why. Because Freddie Prinze Jr. may be not a household name even in Hollywood anymore. But he's made a lot of very, very, very rich friends. Okay? Some of these Hollywood producers, directors, whatever, they got money to burn. And if he does have financial backing of some of these large Hollywood-type tycoons, which he may, don't snicker at this. He could come out with something. He could sign some major people. And I'm going to tell you this. Freddie Prinze Jr. has always maintained that he wrote some good angles for the WWE and they were butchered. That he felt he had some good stuff and it was changed. Things were taken off. Things were added on and it didn't work. If I take him at face value, we could be looking at a situation where we get something along the lines of Lucha Underground. I'm not saying with the Luchadors, but that Hollywood sort of a feel to wrestling, where it's more storyline-based and character-based, and you go out of your way to actually flesh out characters that people understand and get used to and like or hate. And if he can do that successfully, and I'll tell you what, I really was impressed with a comment he made about Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux. He said, you guys, and I'm quoting him partially, I guess. He apparently told Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux, you guys are basically Randy Savage and Elizabeth, the satanic version. And I said to myself, wow, that's actually a pretty good, damn good comparison. You could potentially see that. And if he has that sort of an insight and says, we can do stuff with this. See, I think he's going to come at it from a perspective of, I'm a wrestling fan because I like the larger-than-life characters and the stories. Not, I'm a wrestling fan because I so admire your super kick party. And if he does come at it with that kind of attitude, Mike, this may not be a joke, and a lot of people are taking it as, oh yeah, sure, he's going to do something. I'm not so quick to dismiss this, because he may have the tools to get it done, and he may have the financial backing.
He may have the financial backing, but he also may have the production area backing, because remember, who did Lucha Underground have? They had this guy named Mark Burnett.
Right.
You know, did the Bible, did, I think he still has stuff to do with Shark Tank and stuff like that, that he produces that and stuff like that. So if he's got guys, not just the money, but that type of caliber of guys that can be, that can produce his show for him, then he got something there. And it's not just going to be Karrion Kross and them. I'm hearing rumors that that the WWE is going to cut bait with Paige. You know,
yeah,
he was there when they brought Paige up. If Paige, I don't care how injured she is, I don't know, but if they cut bait with her, Paige is going to be the hottest free agent.
Well, they have cut bait with her. Paige's last Paige. Well, let me talk about this first, and then we'll go to Paige. Tom, listen, I would not snicker at Freddie Prinze Jr. doing this, because while he may not ever have the Tony Khan money, I think he may actually have something better than that, and that is the ability to produce a show that wrestling fans have been wanting to see for a long time, which is a more story-based product type show.
I couldn't agree more, and I when I heard it, I didn't snicker at it, because, like, this could be interesting, because he has he, you know, again, like you just said, he doesn't maybe has, doesn't have the Tony Khan money, but he has the, he has Hollywood, and he probably has some, you know, something up his sleeve as far as, you know, production tools. And, you know, if he has the smarts to make this as like almost like a Lucha Underground type thing, not with the, you know, as it was before, but, you know, similar with, you know, Karrion Kross, that's big.
I think it could be. I really do. I mean, a lot of wrestling fans are saying, oh, Freddie Prinze Jr. had a chance and WWE didn't do anything. Yeah, because it wasn't his baby. Okay, this is actually going to be his baby, which means, you know, if he comes up with something, it's going to happen the way he says it's going to happen. I'd like to give this a shot. I think this could be better than some people might imagine, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the Freddie Perez rumor, I mean, it probably is true with him starting an own wrestling company. Maybe do like a sort of Lucha Underground, like cinematography type cameras or something like that. Use that for his show coming out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he plans, but I look, in the past, I've made fun of some of the stuff he came up with and said, you know, look, some of these storylines are not good. But he has went on record saying a lot of them got changed. A lot of them were accepted, but we're changing this to this and that to that, like a big game of telephone. And by the time you get to the end of it, you're like, did I write that? That's kind of what he's saying. So we'll see. But I'm not taking this with, you know, laughter exactly. We could see something good. And I think he has the perception. See, I've always said this. I've always said, the people who claim, well, you can't be a wrestling fan. You can't, because then you're just a mark. You can't be a wrestling fan and run this type of thing. I disagree. I think if you are a wrestling fan, you've got a much better chance. Because then you understand very clearly what wrestling fans want because you are one. So that would be like saying, well, you can't be a music fan and be a musician. Well, okay, then how the hell are you supposed to know what music fans want? I mean, that's so silly. Of course you have to be. Of course you have to be. And Freddie Prinze is. Tony Khan is too. But I think Tony Khan takes it a little bit overboard with this. And, you know, again, I respect Tony Khan for being a wrestling fan and understanding what wrestling fans want, but I'm not 100% sure wrestling fans want a toy box overflowing with toys that nobody uses. And I think that's what Tony Khan kind of has right now. There's going to be a glut pretty soon. Some AEW guys are going to leave. Some WWE guys, we're going to talk about that in a minute, that there's supposedly more cuts coming. And if Freddie Prinze wants to get in on that, the one that could be really bad news for is Impact. Because Impact's like that strong third, you know. You got your AEW fans, you got your WWE fans, and then you got the fans who are saying, well, I still think Impact's pretty cool. They're the alternative to both of those if you get sick of both of those. Well, this could be an alternative, and if that is the alternative, that's going to leave Impact with a problem because they might be able to afford to be third. I don't think they can afford to be fourth. So we'll see how this goes. I do know he's interested in signing Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux. Let's get on to the Paige thing because I have some mixed feelings about this. Paige has announced that her last WWE day is going to be like in July, I think July 7th or something. And she thanked the WWE and said it was wonderful of them to keep me even when I was injured and I couldn't wrestle. And, you know, I thanked them for the opportunity. And she kind of hinted, this isn't the last time you'll see me in the ring. So I'm going to say this about it. If she feels she can wrestle and that the WWE was not allowing it because they didn't want to take that chance, which is understandable, then fine. It's a good thing for her to go elsewhere where she can do what she wants to do, which is wrestle. However, I have it on very good authority that Paige wanted to sign another contract. clearly knowing that she was not going to be allowed to wrestle. And the WWE was the one who said, no, I think we're just going to cut ties. In other words, she was effectively told, we're not renewing your contract. It's not like she quit. It's not like she said, I won't sign a contract. So if that information is correct, and I believe it is, then she was more than willing to be paid to do nothing because she knew she was going to do nothing. So if that's her attitude, is you pay me and I'll sit on my computer all day and I'll still say, yeah, I'm a WWE superstar. You're just never going to see me ever, 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 ever. But show me the money. I don't know how much her determination is to get back in the ring. I don't know. I know there must be ring rust there that it's going to take a long time to scrape off. But see, I would have been much more a Paige supporter if she said, my contract is coming up. I want to wrestle. I begged the WWE to let me wrestle. They will not do it. I understand why, and I'm not faulting them, but I cannot sign another contract unless they let me wrestle because that's what I want to do. Then I would have said, good for her. She obviously has, a goal, and she's focused on it, and I understand the WWE might not want that, but she's not going to just take the money and sit around. She wants to wrestle. Good for her. But that's not what's happening. She clearly wanted to take the money and sit around. She clearly wanted to sign that contract and say, good, let me go back to, my computer and you won't see me until my contract comes up again. Just keep the checks coming. I don't know if I like that. Now, she can be one of the hottest free agents around, as Mike said, and she would be. But what can she deliver? That's what I want to know before. If I was Freddie Prinze Jr., I'm hesitant. Because I would say to myself, well, okay, and what happens if I give you $1 million contract and match two, you get hurt? And the doctors say, she shouldn't wrestle anymore. And she says, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going back to my computer. But just keep the checks coming in there, Freddie, because I still got that fat contract. So I'd be a little worried about that, Mike. So I'm not sure if I'm Freddie Prinze that I'd jump on that right away.
Well, I'm not sure I would either, but I'm not sure I would. The hot rumors was AEW. Now, I would say this, Freddie Prinze Jr. ties with ties with Paige because they when he was there, they just brought her into NXT and were a few short years from bringing her up, right? When he was there. So it would be more likely that she'd go with Freddie Prinze Jr. than somebody that she really doesn't know. And I agree with you about the whole computer bed and just there for checks, but I'm just looking at it as where she would go rather than which one she would go to rather than, if she didn't decide to go back home and be in her dad's thing, right? In her dad's federation.
Yeah. Yes. And that's very possible because if I'm Tony Khan, I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute. I want to strengthen this women's division, yes, but Paige, how much do you have left? You haven't wrestled in a long time. You have quite a severe neck injury, one that I don't want to be responsible. I mean, I know exactly how Vince McMahon feels. I'm telling you, if I had a wrestling federation and somebody told me, I feel I can wrestle. I feel I still have plenty of wrestling yet to do. However, my doctor tells me that at one wrong move and I'm paralyzed, I can't do it. I cannot do that because I would feel responsible if you got paralyzed. And I would say, I just cannot do that because I can't live with that. I know it's your decision. I know you're not forcing me, but I'm still going to feel like if that happens to you, I never should have said yes, and so I can't do it. So now if Paige goes over somewhere and lights it up and her doctors say, see, we let her wrestle and it was fine, it's the same thing with Jerry Lawler and his heart attack. Now, Jerry Lawler has said, and he's presented doctor's evidence, his heart is better now than it was before the heart attack, because with the surgery and the arteries being, you know, cleansed or whatever the hell they did, the bypassing or whatever they did to him, they're saying you are in much better shape to wrestle now than you were prior to the heart attack when you were actually wrestling. And he's wrestled many times since that heart attack, and he looks fine. I still wouldn't do it. Not if I'm a major, major federation. If you're picking up gigs at a, you know, indie federation, fine, because, you know, it's not like they're using you long-term or anything. That's your own bed you made. But if you're a long-term contract to a major federation, you can't have it. I mean, you just can't. It's a whole different ball of wax. It's the difference between saying, I'll hire you for one night if you think in your heart of hearts you're fine, and here's your money, and saying, I'm going to sign you for 3 years, and I don't even know if you're getting past match number one. So for that reason, Tom, I don't know if I would. Paige is going to, I think, have to prove herself first on the indies before anybody's going to give her a major contract.
Yeah, and I was actually just going to say that. I mean, she hasn't wrestled since, I'm going to say, either 2017 or 2018. And I think that if she wants to make some kind of impact, no pun intended, that if she really can wrestle and that's what she truly wants to do, then to be honest with you, I think she's going to have to prove that she can and that she wants to. Because physically, after a major neck injury like that, I mean, you know, Daniel Bryan came back and wrestled after being sidelined. But Paige hasn't done – he was on TV a lot. Paige hasn't done a thing. You haven't seen her on television. And that's the thing. Like, you know, my spidey senses before I heard Paige's contract was – or she didn't resign, my spidey senses really – got into my head and said, you know, she would actually make a decent addition to the Judgment Day. And to drop the ball like that, even if she didn't wrestle, she could still be A, because she could talk. She could either be somebody at ringside when they wrestle and get involved. It's not that she can't get involved. She just can't take hits to her neck. Okay, get involved. Be an addition to Judgment Day. That would be would have been awesome. What happened? They couldn't think of that.
Well,
I
know what happened. The contract was coming up, and they clearly didn't want to renew it. So that's probably what happened. They take a look at that and say, we'd have to renew her contract to do that, and we don't have any interest in renewing her contract. She's going to want a decent amount of money to do it, and why bother when we're not going to get that much out of it? I think that's what it's going to. Again, they're supposed to be releasing more people, most of them from NXT. Now, this apparently is going to be a regular thing, because they have put out an edict basically saying, if the powers that be do not feel like you have advanced in your training or your work in 6 months, we're not giving you another 6 months. We're letting you go. So they have now clearly sent a signal to all of the NXT workers that either you improve within your 6 months, so we see marked improvement on where you're going, or we're not going to keep you. We're just not going to start collecting a bunch of guys and say, well, we'll use them once in a blue moon here or there. They're not going to do it anymore. WWE seems to be on the verge of streamlining themselves a little bit, which I said Tony Khan should do. The WWE is now starting to do some things that I think is the right move, in the sense that if you have too many people and you're not going to use them and you really don't know what you're going to do with them, why are you paying them? Name me another business that would do that. Let's say your restaurant waits on an average of, I don't know, 100 tables a night. Are you going to hire 35 waitresses? So each person gets two tables a night? Or are you going to say, well, I don't know, 100 tables a night? Two waitresses should be able to handle that. That's the difference. You really need to start streamlining and only using your guys. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have guys that never win. those are guys that are very, very valuable to your federation. They're guys that build up other people. And everyone can't be a champion. But if you truly say, I just don't have anything for this person, like, for instance, Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews, I don't know when the last time was that we saw him. Now he's in NXT. He's back in NXT. He's dropped the accent. He's going back to his old gimmick. And this is what I said forever the WWE should do when they just don't feel you're cutting it on the main roster. I don't know for the life of me why they would let you go if they still feel you're a quality athlete, rather than to just use the name recognition they did give you by bringing you up to try to drive ratings a little bit. Now, I'm not saying Apollo Crews is going to drive ratings. I know he's probably not. But there are other people you could have done this with that certainly. You're going to tell me if sending Aleister Black back down to NXT wouldn't have helped drive ratings rather than let him go? I think it would have. So I think that they need to do that more. I think the WWE needs to do that more. Cesaro should have never been let go. He should have been right in NXT where he could wrestle his style of wrestling and be exactly who the fans wanted him to be. So maybe the WWE is finally listening. I know you guys have probably seen the Apollo Crews thing. I don't know if you watch NXT anymore, Mike, but this is exactly what we've been calling for. If you have nothing for them on the main roster, but you still have a belief they're a good athlete, you've given them exposure on Raw or SmackDown or whatever it happens to be, what's the harm in sending him to NXT where you could potentially drive a few more eyes to the product?
That's right, and it works. It works in the other way around as well, because think about it. We've talked about certain people like, I don't know, Io Shirai. First off, where is she? Second off, she's basically done all she can do there. Why isn't she up on the main roster?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that you could potentially say, let's bring them up. And a lot of people, again, it's really just based upon where you think they fit in. But I've never understood, let's say you're the best fry cook, short order cook that I've had in a long time. And I say, I'm short of waiters tonight. Can you wait tables? And you say yes. And then I have enough waiters. And I say, well, I don't really need you. I guess I'm just going to let you go. Well, why would I do that? I'd say, go back to being the fry cook. You're real good at that. Right? WWE tends to say, oh, you're really good in NXT. Let's bring you up. It's not working in WWE. Well, go back to NXT. Because their thought process is the only reason you were in NXT to begin with is for us to pick you to come to the main roster and be a superstar. And if you can't be a superstar, we don't want you. That was their attitude. We've given you your NXT shot, and now we gave you a shot at the main roster and it didn't work, so why send you back to NXT? It's not going to work the second time. Well, if you had that attitude, there never would have been a Bray Wyatt, because Husky Harris sure as hell didn't work. So I think the WWE is doing the right thing. This is what I would do with everyone. If you have nothing for Ricochet, pass this. And we'll talk about SmackDown in a minute. But if you don't have anything for Ricochet past maybe a return match that he's obviously not going to win, why can't he go to NXT? Why can't he be a part of that? Because I think he has a decent enough following that people would say, oh, Ricochet's on NXT. Well, not only is he going to be able to wrestle more and do more, but the people who didn't know who he was until he was on the main roster might now say, well, all right, maybe I'll tune into NXT then because I like Ricochet. It's sort of a no-lose situation, Tom, so I don't know why they don't do it more.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I really thought Ricochet was done months ago, but they really brought him back, and he's got a pretty decent following. And if at this point, you're not going to have the face freaking Gunther I don't know how many times in a row on television, they're just going to move on. Put him down in NXT. He's a good enough athlete. And he's going to be on TV more to expose his his ability, and fans of NXT like that. So
yeah,
put him down in NXT, let him do what he can do. Same thing with Cesaro. That's a big loss to the WWE. Cesaro could have, and he's a good big enough name to draw for NXT, draw more than they're drawing now, because he was on the main roster for how long, and he really could help the younger guys too. This is starting to, I really truly hope they, start pulling the trigger on things that, can bring, more credibility to the guys who aren't cutting it on the main roster than just letting them go.
Yeah, and look, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, I'll tell you why they didn't send Cesaro down to NXT, because Cesaro wanted a big pay raise, and they're not going to pay somebody that much money to be on NXT. Fair enough. I understand he wanted a big pay raise. But at the end of the day, if you can't afford to give Cesaro enough of a pay raise and still have him on NXT, how important is the NXT ratings to you then? At some point you got to realize, well, okay, he's going to want more money. And this is normally the type of money we only give to WWE superstars, not NXT superstars. But maybe if we give him that kind of money and send him down there, we can boost our ratings a little bit and we can get, go to the next level here. I'm not against that. I think you got to open up your purse strings at some point. Now, I'm not all for just throwing money at everybody, but at the end of the day, it's value versus, the monetary situation. What kind of value are you going to get for Cesaro in NXT? Well, you're going to get a lot. He has a major following, okay? It's not just a small following. Cesaro has a major following. And Cesaro in NXT is an automatic watch for a lot of people. And I do think it would have been a ratings boost. And if you used him correctly, it could have been a long-term rating boost, too. I don't think necessarily Apollo Crews is going to be that, but I think Cesaro would have been. Now, I know people are going to say, well, Finn Balor wasn't. No, you're right. He wasn't. But I've always said that Finn Balor isn't that guy. He's just not, and he's not going to be in Judgment Day either, by the way. He's absolutely not going to be that guy in Judgment Day. I think this is a huge mistake they made. And I'm still skeptical of those rumors that say the only reason Edge got booted out is he didn't want to participate in a supernatural angle and they want to go more in the supernatural realm with Judgment Day. I don't believe it because he didn't ask to be taken out of the group when Damian Priest disappeared in the ring week number two of Judgment Day. So that wasn't supernatural? What was it? I still say it's more to do with we don't have a lot of faces that people care about. And I don't know how you're going to care about Edge. It's not like he voluntarily left. It's not like he said, I've thought this over and I think I'm being a rat bastard, so I'm going to leave. No. He was all for doing all the bad things you could possibly do. It's just that they beat him up. So I don't know how we're supposed to cheer for him. I don't get that. And I don't like it. And it does reek of desperation, so maybe there was some backstage problem long-term. Maybe he didn't want Finn Balor to join. I don't know what the hell it is. But I doubt it's the supernatural thing, because they already did the supernatural thing when he was the leader. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about this week's SmackDown, because I think we clearly see a couple things happening. The first is, I have no doubt in my mind that they are going to flip Sami Zayn to a face very, very soon. And I think it's a mistake. Sami Zayn doesn't have the charisma as a face that he has as a heel when he can do all these outrageously ridiculous things. He just doesn't. You've been down that road with Sami Zayn. He didn't have the crowd support. Sami Zayn is more entertaining when he's doing his outrageous heel stuff. But you can see it coming because, A, all of a sudden he's not dressed as Fidel Castro anymore. You've noticed that, right? B, he's clearly being used by Paul Heyman and the Bloodline. And I can't imagine he's staying heel in this storyline. So where does it go? He's not got the credibility to fight Roman Reigns, so it's not going there. So my thought process is if I was the promoter, what would I do? My thought process is once you're done with this Kevin Owens storyline, maybe it's time to send Owens over there, let these guys patch up their differences, and a Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens tag team against the Usos might actually be pretty good. And Kevin Owens does have the charisma as a face. Sami never did, but Kevin does. So he could help carry that because the buddy-buddy thing would work and it would make Sami Zayn more charismatic. I think that might be where it's heading, Mike, but regardless of where it's heading, it's pretty clear, I think, that they want Sami Zayn to be a face.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And think about this. What was the matter with Riddle before he hooked up with Randy Orton?
It was annoying.
He was trying to play him off as a face, but he was coming off as annoying, right? And
yes.
Basically, what we said, annoying, like a heel would be annoying, right? And so
yeah.
they hook him up with Randy Orton, and now that Randy Orton's gone, he's still getting cheered. Is Riddle? He's still getting cheered. Yeah, he may still be a little bit annoying, but he's getting cheered. They're treating him like a face now, and that's the thing that might possibly happen if they take your advice and put Kevin Owens with Sami Zayn and do this thing right. And at some point, you know it's going to happen that they're going to, yeah, they may patch it up for a short period of time, but at some point they're going to fall back into the I hate you, you hate me, we're going to feud, whatever, Sami Zayn. And because it's happened before, it's going to happen again. So, yeah, you could very well see them do this whole thing with, and when it happened in NXT, who was the face and who was the heel?
Right. Yeah, you can do this with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn a million times because you have clearly established that they will yell at each other, scream at each other, fight each other, but they're still friends. It's almost like what you were trying to do with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, and it didn't work out quite as well, but to an extent it did. And I just keep looking back to that time that Kevin Owens came over and tried to recruit Sami Zayn to come over and help him with his Elias situation. And I said, what was all that for? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Why would you have Kevin Owens come to another show and then he doesn't go help him? As a matter of fact, they just get into an argument, which they're not going to resolve in the ring because they're on different brands and it doesn't make sense. Well, this week the little light went off in my head and I said they wanted to show that those two guys argue and fight, but they're still brothers. And they're doing it for a reason. Kevin Owens clearly said, you're being used, Sammy. You're being used. You don't realize it. They're not your friends. Kevin Owens was correct. And when Kevin Owens, that what he said sinks into Sami Zayn's head, which it will pretty soon, I think Kevin Owens is going to be there to pick up the pieces and say, I told you so. And Sami Zayn's going to be the guy that says, I'm an idiot. Now, in that respect, it might work because you'd have to make Sami Zayn the recalcitrant guy who says, I was trying so hard to revive my career after hitting rock bottom and losing to Johnny Knoxville at WrestleMania. I knew my career was done and I was trying everything I possibly could do because I love this sport and I don't want to be the next guy out the door. Kevin. And I just knew I was going to be the next guy out of the door because I'm irrelevant. Let's face it, okay? I become irrelevant. You're not irrelevant. You've always managed to stay relevant, but I'm not. I'm over here dying. And that's when Kevin Owens could say, you've never been irrelevant. They've just never seen the real Sami Zayn. I know the real Sami Zayn. And we're not going to be irrelevant much longer because we're going to be the tag team champions. And then I think people might say, this is great, a great storyline. You know, because they could always say, well, you can say the bloodline all you want, but you don't have to be family to be blood. And Sami is my blood and I'm his. And I think you might get a good reaction from that. I really do. So I think that's where they're heading, Tom. I think that if anyone, I think they're heading to WrestleMania, and I think that's probably what the tag team championship's going to be, is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos.
I hope so, because it's, at this point, it's just, to be honest with you, it's just the only thing that makes sense. I said that a couple of weeks ago. I thought that once that Randy Orton has been, you know, put out and there's nothing really for Riddle, I mean, you know, he's not winning a belt this week. So, and to have a, you know, temporary partner like Shinsuke, they're not winning the belts. I mean, who else really is there, honestly? But, you know, I was thinking about Sami Zayn and Kevin the other day because they made a good team. You know, Kevin Owens has the charisma. Sami Zayn, not a huge Sami Zayn fan. As a matter of fact, I think he's really annoying. And he looks more like a cab driver than a wrestler, but whatever. I just think that if you put those two together and you make a serious storyline out of it to bring back the credibility of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens together, pushing it out to WrestleMania, I don't know if the, I don't know if WWE thinks that their fan base has that kind of attention span. I think that they might pull the trigger on it sooner, but even if they do, you know, that's definitely a good way to go. They could be the thorn in the side of, if they push it out to WrestleMania, they could be the thorn in the side of the Usos. You know, week in and week out.
Because I don't think they're going to do it right away. I don't think this is happening next week. I think this is happening after SummerSlam. So you're talking about September before they even start, I think, unless they start, they fast track it. But I'd say after SummerSlam, something's going to happen where Sami Zayn flips and, or gets beat the hell beat out of him or something. It's coming pretty soon. But I don't think it's coming immediately. And if they can stretch it out that far, well, you're already into September, October, November, December, January, February. You know, you got 6 months to play with it. And you still got to wrap up some Kevin Owens loose ends because obviously he's not done with the Elias thing. So we'll see what happens. Listen, this SmackDown, I'm going to tell you, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but this SmackDown felt closer to like old WWE than I have felt in a really long time. And when it was over, I said to myself, that was sort of a fast 2 hours. And on top of it being a fast 2 hours, there were a ton of branches on the tree. And there were a ton of things that I'm saying, well, what about this? What about that? And I really shut off my television and said, that might have been one of the better SmackDowns I've seen in a really long time. Not necessarily because of the wrestling, but more just the way it was handled, totally the way it was handled. The pacing, the build-ups to certain people, the storylines and the way they're weaving themselves through. And I'm really saying to myself, gee, I hope the WWE does this more often. This was clearly superior to Raw by a country mile. Clearly superior. And they even, and that's with them falsely saying that they were going to have Eli Drake's character there, Dupree, debut his first guy, and then they backed out of that. Now, normally I would say that's a disaster. When you do that, when you false advertise and say, oh, we're not doing it. I don't like that at all. But there was so much going on in this show that I said, you know, it might have got lost in the shuffle. And maybe it's not the best thing. Maybe you should save that. Because there was an awful lot of things going on. First, you had the situation where Sami Zayn was going to fight Riddle. And I'll tell you what the difference is with Riddle now. Riddle has learned, to his credit, now, I'm not a Matt Riddle fan. I told you before, I'm not a big fan of his. But to his credit, he learned that his character needed some modification. The old Riddle, when he was doing his Yo, Dude, Fast Times at Ridgemont High character, would have went out there with the Usos and been like, yo, man, that's so uncool that you put Randy on the shelf, but man, it's cool that I'm going to get a chance to fight. He wouldn't have been that serious guy who says, I've had enough of you motherfuckers. See, that's the difference. He didn't know when to cool it. He didn't know when to end the stoner gimmick and really just be, I'm pissed, legit pissed. And leave it to Paul Heyman to say the right thing. And Paul Heyman said, look, I'm going to lie to you. Riddle looks like an idiot and talks like an idiot, but if you don't think he's a viable threat to anybody in this federation, you're wrong. He is. That helped to sell that character. And you're saying the underlying Riddle, when he focuses and he's not too busy being a stoner, is a dangerous dude. And he's not just some guy to take lightly because most of the time you're laughing at him. He's serious. He's a serious athlete. I thought Paul Heyman did a good job with that. You put Sami Zayn in the perfect position, and I'll tell you why. When Paul Heyman said, this is going to be very bad for you if you do not win, we already knew he wasn't going to win. We already knew Sami Zayn's not beating Matt Riddle. And if it was that vitally important, why weren't the Usos out there to make sure he won? They waited until afterwards, which clearly shows we don't care about Sami Zayn. We only care about Roman Reigns. Okay, Riddle won. We'll beat him down and make sure he's in no shape next week. But we're not going to make sure Sami Zayn wins. Our goal is not to give Sami Zayn a win. That clearly makes them the heels. Sami Zayn is fighting for a position where he says, my back is against the wall. I have to beat a very tough guy who is being booked to be pretty much out of my league. So there's a little bit of sympathy for Sami Zayn when you're like, well, this poor dude, he's not going to cut it. And they sure as hell didn't help him. So you see what I mean, Mike? They put it in a situation where you could have some sympathy for Zayn, and that's when I knew they were going to turn him face.
Right, and that's the thing. And, you know, look, this character that he's playing, earlier on when what's his name first showed up, when RVD first showed up in ECW, what character was he playing?
Yeah, he was close
basically
to that.
Basically, this kind of stoner type of unserious character, right? But we knew he was a good guy, but he was playing that character. When Paul Heyman got a hold to him, well, that's when it changed for RVD, and he became more of a serious guy, especially when he was with. What's his name and Sabu, you know, and that type of thing. Yeah, he would relapse into doing that stoner character, but he gets serious at times. That's what they're trying to do with Riddle. They're trying to make him to the point. Yeah, he'll snap into that stoner character at times, but he's a more serious guy, you know.
Yeah, and to his credit, Riddle is doing that very well. See, I thought Riddle was going to continue with this good-natured, even though you're the bad guy, you're still cool dude type thing. He's not. Now he's clearly saying, look, I've had enough. of these idiots. And no more joking around, no more clowning around. You know, I'm out for blood. And I think that's helped his character. I think that helped his character a lot because it lends it some credibility. And it doesn't hurt that Paul Heyman is saying, don't take this guy lightly. If you think for 1 minute we're taking this guy lightly, you're very wrong. We know. We know that underneath the stupidity, we know how dangerous he is. That's a good thing. And I truly think that next week they're going to let Riddle have a lot of offense. I think they're going to make this a much closer match than some people think. I think next week is the match that they are telling Roman Reigns, you're winning, clearly. But this is going to be the match that makes Riddle, where people say, I guess he is championship material because he damn sure almost beat Roman Reigns. I really think that that's where they're going with this, Todd. This is probably the most important match in Riddle's WWE career thus far.
Well, you're absolutely right, man. Like you said about this match with Riddle and Roman Reigns here. Like you said with this whole thing with like you said with this whole thing with Riddle and Roman Reigns here, is it going to get a lot of offense for Riddle and have Roman Reigns win that match?
Well, Roman Reigns will clearly win. But, Tom, I do think that this is going to be the match that the WWE tells Roman, you got to make Riddle. You got to make Riddle look like $1 million because we're going to be using him going forward.
Yeah, no, that's it's going to be – that's one of the – going to be the biggest match of Matt Riddle's career. And Roman is such a good – is so good that he will make – Matt Riddle look like $1 million. There's going to be a lot of interference, I'm sure.
Yep.
And it's going to look like, I hope they make it look like Matt Riddle is going to overcome and give the, you know, it's going to be a really good match because they both are good wrestlers. I'm not really, you know, the big fan of Matt Riddle so much without Randy Orton, but it's going to be a heck of a match. And to have the backing of the Usos and Paul Heyman out there, which you know they're going to be, it's going to be very interesting. I'm definitely going to tune in to SmackDown this week.
Yeah, and you know, they could go one of two ways, Mike. They could have maybe Sami Zayn run down, attempt to help Roman Reigns win, and almost accidentally cause him to lose. Where they were like, oh, my God, you screwed up. You could have cost us the belt, which makes more heat on Sami Zayn for the Usos and Roman. Or they could stretch the story out and legitimately have him cost Riddle. So they say, well, temporarily, you're back in our good graces. But it's very temporary. Then maybe you get another match out of Riddle and Sami Zayn before you do the flip-flop. I don't know which direction they want to go, but they've got branches on the tree.
They could actually have Sami Zayn cause a disqualification, get caught, in other words, causing a disqualification, and have Roman Reigns castigate him. I didn't want to win like this, you know. You shouldn't have been out here. I could have handled this, you know.
Right, again, more branches on the tree. You could have him disqualify Roman Reigns due to blatant interference, and have Roman Reigns at first be mad and then realize, oh, wait a minute, he did that on purpose. That worked out just fine. And then say, hey, you know what? You're not that bad. Maybe you've earned yourself another chance. It depends on how long they want to stretch this out. So to be honest with you, I'm into this storyline because it's well-written, and it's got several avenues or what we call branches on the tree, that it could go. And I'm not sure which way it's going to go. And there are several decent directions, which usually doesn't happen in the WWE. Usually it's one direction, and it's not even that great. This one has several directions, and there's several things being accomplished by this match. You're furthering the Sami Zayn angle, I'm sure. You're going to further the Matt Riddle's worth to the company, I'm sure. You're going to further how good Roman Reigns is and how hard he's going to be to beat and that kind of stuff. So this has more than one purpose for existing. So that's why I like this match. Now let me talk a little bit about something I never thought I would say. I said a few weeks ago when Ronda Rousey fought what's her name now? Rodriguez Gonzalez, whichever they're calling her currently. Wow. Ronda Rousey sort of became a professional wrestler. She sold. She had an actual wrestling match. It wasn't a UFC fight versus a wrestler. And I said to myself, yeah, but. She was clearly told to do that because they want to build up Rodriguez or Gonzalez's character. Will she do that with everybody? Or is that just the exception because they told her, you need to do this because this is going to be a future big star for us? Well, she fights Shotzi Blackheart this week. And this was a good match. She did it again. Shotzi Blackheart got plenty of offense. Ronda Rousey at times looked like she was might lose. She helped to make Shotzi look like she's an above-average contender. And when that match was over, I said, well, that, now it's official. Ronda Rousey now is a professional wrestler. The last run she had with this company, Ronda Rousey was not a professional wrestler. Ronda Rousey was a celebrity UFC fighter who was going into that ring using UFC and a little tiny bit of wrestling to just dominate people because she didn't understand the ebb and flow of a match. She didn't understand the give and take. She didn't understand how important it was to sell and get crowd sympathy and all that kind of stuff or put somebody else over. She didn't understand none of that and didn't want to understand any of that. Her gimmick was, just let me go in there and be a badass. Let me be the female version of Steven Seagal. Nobody's really challenging me. I'm just kick everybody's ass. Effortlessly, and she undermined the entire women's division. This time around, this Ronda Rousey is helping the women's division. And now I'm saying to myself, well, I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know whether it was Charlotte Flair's doing. I don't know whether it's Natalia's doing. I don't know whether it's a combination of the both. I do not know what lit the pilot light in Ronda's head. But she now understands what being a professional wrestler is, and that's a good thing. Because I'm telling you that she could be really, really good at it. She has the athletic skills to be really, really good at it. She just didn't have the mindset. Now I'm watching and I'm saying, Mike, she's got the mindset. This, she can put on good matches now.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, she can put on good matches, and if you watched her on the mic, she's gotten better on the mic as well. You know, so all in all around, she's gotten better. And I don't know what happened who got with her on the mic to get her to get better on the mic. I don't know. I sure as hell don't know if it was Charlotte or Natty or whomever that got in her head to get her better in the ring and making people look good, but she's a net positive. And I just thought about something else about the whole Riddle match. What happens after the match after this match this week with Riddle? He has a good match, ends up losing the match via disqualification. Then the next week on SmackDown, he gets a call from Randy Orton saying basically, you see there, you don't really need me.
I mean, you could do that, but I think what they're going to do, if I were the WWE, if you told me, Marcus, you got carte blanche on writing and we're going to do whatever you want, carte blanche, I would say, okay, here's what I'm doing. This week, Sami Zayn gets a disqualification victory for Riddle. But Roman Reigns gets his belt saved when it looks like he was going to lose to Riddle. Roman Reigns reluctantly says, you might have earned yourself a reprieve. We'll see. No promises. They say, okay, well, that disqualification, he still won. So you're going to have a rematch. Maybe a no DQ rematch. Something that might lead to, if not a premium live event thing, then another SmackDown. And in that one, Riddle should get injured. Riddle should be put out. Because then you have Randy Orton saying, I was this close to calling it a career. I was this close to saying, you don't need, the WWE doesn't need me anymore. I put in my years. I've had my share of injuries. I've had my share of titles. I've had my share of glory. It's time to step aside. But I have never had more fun in my life than when I was teaming with Matt Riddle. And after what I saw you do to him last week, I'm not retiring. I'm coming back and I'm taking that title. As God is my witness, I'm taking your title. Because then people would say, oh, well, this is a big deal now. Are they going to let Randy have it? They might. So now you're like, oh, geez, this is going to be something. And he's now going to do it to avenge his friend. You've got a lot more storyline there. So that's what I would do. But we'll see what the WWE does. There's a lot you can do with this. But anyway, Tom, Ronda Rousey greatly improved in the psychology of how she approaches a wrestling match now.
Man, I got to tell you, I spoke to you about this the other day. I said, you know, Ronda Rousey's really starting to impress me. She had a great match with Raquel Rodriguez or Martinez or whatever they're calling her this week. She had a great match with, you know, with that. She sold very well. She gave plenty of offense. And then she has a match with, you know, with Shotzi, who's starting to grow on me, actually. And Shotzi did very well, and she made Shotzi look like $1 million. I'll be honest with you, I really had no idea that you know, Natalya was going to not go back to the face and sneak attack Ronda Rousey, but it certainly is. Ronda is now full blown face, and Natalya's full blown heel.
But you know, the one mistake that was made, and I know it's nitpicking, but that's what we do here, right? There's one little thing that I would have done differently. When Ronda Rousey took that mic and said, you're just doing a third rate version of your uncle's move, she has to understand that Bret Hart is a beloved character to the WWE. And while she didn't directly insult him because she said it's a third rate version of his move, I would have told her, make sure you put that move over. Make sure you say, you know, your uncle came up with a move that was fantastic and that tapped out a lot of people that normally would never tap out in their lifetime. What you're doing, third-rate version of that move, and it's really a disgrace to his because his was brilliant and yours is average. Then it would have been more like she's the heel. Oh, she's the face. When she's saying, oh, that's a third-rate move that you stole from your uncle, well, what are you saying? That Bret Hart's move was a third-rate move? Because obviously it wasn't. So I would have much rather she clarified that. I would have much rather her said, look, Bret Hart sharpshooter was a phenomenal finishing maneuver. Your sharpshooter is a third-rate version of it. That would have worked better for me. And to be perfectly honest with you, I know she doesn't want to do it, and I know the WWE doesn't want to make it look like it, but when Natalya put her in that sharpshooter, since there is no match anyway, I would have had Ronda tap. At least pound the mat. Because then Natalya would have said, had that been a match, you'd have tapped out, honey. So who's got the third-rate move now? Because then we would have said, ooh, well, how about that? We never thought we'd see Ronda do that. I would have sort of preferred that, Todd, but at the same time, I still say Ronda Rousey has improved tremendously.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, when Ronda Rousey came back the second time, maybe this will put her in, like act like more professional, like the last time she was in the WWE in the last round. She the first time she was in the WWE, she didn't want to act like professional in the ring. Now she's back. Now she's acting more professional. as a professional wrestler.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I always felt that Ronda's first run was almost like a celebrity guest wrestler who just didn't leave. Now I feel like she's a part of the WWE.
Hello?
And that's good for the WWE because I got news. They need everybody they can get. Now, aside from that, we have Ricochet, obviously, taking on Gunther. And we knew Gunther was going to win. We speculated there's no way on earth that Ricochet's getting over Gunther. And we said, well, what's the level of the win, though? Now, my booking would have been he was much more dominant. Under no circumstances would I have let Gunther ever take a two count. One count, yes. Two count, no. My booking would have been hit him with some stuff. Don't hit him with your finisher, but hit him with some stuff that's normally a two-and-a-half count, and he's kicking out at one. Then he'll finish you off. Because then you would have said, well, to be honest with you, Ricochet gave it his all, but, I mean, he was no match at all for Gunther, so I don't really know who's going to be. The way you pulled it off was like, hey, he almost beat him. He almost beat him. So now you've put Gunther down to a level of, well, he's not that much better than Ricochet, who really has been sort of a middling sort of a wrestler. So I don't necessarily like that. But I do think he dominated enough that we get the idea. And I'm very much thinking that Gunther's character is going to work because nobody's cheering him. See, this is an old school heel where you're literally like, this is in fact a heel. He does not come out to cool music. He does not do one-liners. He does not shake hands with fans. He does not get on the microphone and say all kinds of funny things and cool things. He's just a heel. Old school heel. And nobody's rooting for him. And because that, you start to speculate, well, I wonder where this goes from here. Who's the next guy? After Ricochet's done, who's the next guy to step up? Wouldn't this be an interesting match? I wonder how they book this match. This is good. We didn't do that with Ricochet. I am firmly convinced that when Ricochet had that belt put on his waist, they told him, you're an interim champion waiting until we can get Gunther 3 or 4 weeks along. He knew from the very beginning, from the very moment they handed him that title, you're just a temporary champion. We got to get this. We want to get this belt on Gunther, but we got to debut him and get him, known to the audience first. So I don't think it's any knock to Ricochet. It's not like they said, "Well, we wanted to make you long-term champion, and then we decided against it." No, that's not what happened at all. Ricochet, in my opinion, knew from Jump Street what his job was. Be the champion for a few weeks till we get Gunther in position, and then that's what we want. And I think it's an excellent idea. I really do. And I think that you can make a face off of a guy like Gunther where, there was a lot of people you really can't make faces off. Even like Baron Corbin, as good as he is with being a heel, you don't make faces off him that well because he's lost too many times. A guy like Gunther hasn't lost at all. So you can make good faces out of a guy like Gunther by having guys go against him because everyone's going to root for his opponent, Tom.
Yeah, for sure. Gunther's starting to warm up to me. I'm starting to warm up to his character. And the fact that his manager there took some outside interference, well, he got super kicked for his trouble, which I didn't think he would ever get involved ever, but he did. And I was like, oh, I think Ricochet might pull this off. And, to be honest with you, I didn't know who was which way that match was going to go. I really thought initially that they were going to try to stretch this out and do like a disqualification or a count out or whatever the case is. But really thought they were going to stretch it out. I didn't think they were going to do it on SmackDown. I thought they were going to hold it for maybe Money in the Bank. But even
Now, I kind of knew that's where they were going with it, but Mike, had I booked it, I think I would have booked it where Gunther can't catch Ricochet. Ricochet's hitting him with flips and kicks and things, and he's not overselling it. In other words, he's getting hit with these things, but he's more annoyed than he is hurt. You know, the annoyance is I can't catch him. He's obviously faster than me. He's extraordinarily agile. He's given me a rough time with trying to get my hands on him, and he's annoying me like a fly, kicking me in the chest and the head and the legs and things. It's not hurting me, but it's annoying me. And then catch him and finish him off. The way they had it booked, I know they wanted to give Ricochet that respect, but I think it might have undermined Gunther a little bit, but I'm still okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with it as well. And frankly, I know he's good. I know Ludwig Kaiser is good in the ring. We've seen him in the ring before as Martel Barthel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at some point he's going to wrestle. I mean, Gunther goes on his extended winning streak, and by the way, he would be the perfect guy to help flip Roman Reigns.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
Once he goes on his extended winning streak, and then at some point, Kaiser is going to get back in the ring as an active wrestler. You know, and who knows, we could have a monster tag team, you know, a monster heel tag team, you know.
Well, there's a lot you could do with them. I mean, you could even have just Kaiser go out on his own and wrestle here and there without even Gunther being a tag team partner. But I think you're right, and I do think that might be the long-term goal of this. Is possible that, of course, he's going to have to lose that belt first. And I don't like that, because then that means he's going to have to be pinned before the Roman Reigns thing. I mean, I guess you could book it that he's literally stripped of the title because of some heinous, horrible thing he does or whatever, but you're right. At the end of the day, if you were able to keep Gunther totally undefeated and you really wanted to flip Roman Reigns, that would be the guy to do it on. You're absolutely correct. Because no one's rooting for Gunther. Everybody would root for Roman Reigns. Everybody would. So SmackDown this week, I thought it was real good. I thought it was very strong. There wasn't really any segments that I thought was horrible or stunk. I thought everything had a purpose. The Money in the Bank qualifier, I think that's a good idea. I know a lot of people were disappointed that Xia Li lost. And I do realize there were other people you could have put Lacey Evans in the ring with to keep Xia Li strong. I realize that. But I think what they wanted to do is show you Lacey Evans isn't kidding. That's Xia Li. That's not somebody that you knew she was going to beat and just, you know, nobody important. So I'm not necessarily against that. I'll tell you what really stuck in my craw, though. And I'm not going to name the show, but there's a very popular wrestling broadcast who was very upset that Xia Li lost and said, well, of course Lacey Evans has to win because Xia Li wasn't in the service. What the hell is that supposed to mean? I mean, honestly, what the hell is that supposed to mean? I don't like when people left-handedly insult our service people. And if you think that the reason Lacey Evans won that match is because she's in the service, then please tell me why the hell you fired Jackson Ryker. So don't come at me with that bullshit, because I'm going to give it to you right back. Lacey Evans won because they're pushing Lacey Evans. It has nothing to do with the fact that she was in the service. Of course, that's how you think. But that's not the truth. Now, having said that, I would have much preferred that Xia Li wasn't the person she beat. Because I think you could have had Xia Li beat someone, And if she was also in the Money in the Bank ladder match, you would have said, it's possible she could win it. I mean, they've just given her the heel persona. And, you know, after all, Ronda Rousey's face, right? Xia Li could win this. It would be pretty good, Xia Li versus Ronda Rousey. So I think you wasted someone who the fans really could have said might win this by letting her lose in a qualifying match when there were other people you could have put up that we clearly is not winning Money in the Bank. So do I agree with the booking? No, I don't. I would have put someone else definitely against her, and I would have had Xia Li qualify as well. But don't let me hear you say it's because she was in the service, because that is insulting. And it really pissed me off. And I just wonder to myself sometimes, who are some of these wrestling fans? I mean, what the hell? What the hell frame of mind are you in that you would say something like that? I realize that some of you people are can't tell the difference between a work and a shoot. So maybe the people who can't tell the difference between a work and a shoot probably shouldn't comment on political issues, because if you can't tell what's real and fake in wrestling, I'm pretty sure you can't tell what's real and fake in real life. Anyway, wanted to get that one off my chest, Tom, because that bothered me a lot. But yes, Xia Li should actually have been someone who was in the Money in the Bank match.
Agreed 100%, because that would be a great feud for, you know, Lacey Evans, who wanted to come back down to, you know, come down to that. But as for the knucklehead who commented on, you know, the reason Lacey Evans won is because she was in the service, these are the same people who were gloating about how they knew that the MJF thing was a work. And we all knew because we're behind the scenes. And then you go and say that. Your credibility gets flushed down the toilet. You're an idiot.
Yeah, well, they have to. You know, they can't resist taking shots at people who actually do something other than wrestle. You know what I mean? Their heroes have got to be the people who wear pro-choice T-shirts and not people who actually defended our country. I'm sorry, but there's an awful lot of wrestling fans who are like that, and I don't understand it. You have the right to your opinion, but I don't understand why you think belittling people who serve the country somehow makes you cool. I've never understood that, and it bothers me. Anyway, another decent match. I don't know, again, I don't know how hurt Xia Li is, if she was just maybe concussed. I don't know what happened there. It doesn't speak highly of Lacey Evans. I'm sorry, but if Lacey Evans went in there and hurt somebody in her first match, you know, your head's going to explode because you're like, Lacey, what are you doing here? They're finally giving you something. By the way, obviously she's going to be a face. Obviously they listened to people who said, how in the blue hell are you going to make her heel? And realized, I guess we're not. I guess we're going to stick with the inspirational thing. Good for you, because you already blew the heel thing. It's never going to happen. You had blown it. But, man, she can't be injuring somebody first shot out. So I don't know. Again, I didn't see it, Todd, but it doesn't speak highly if her first shot out, she's already injured someone.
You're absolutely right there, like you said, with this – I guess they're going with this whole thing with this Lacey Evans thing, berating her and everything. Whoever they are, they should not do that. Oh, like you said, just leave it alone.
Yeah, Mike. Again, I don't think she's that badly hurt. But if you're Lacey Evans, you don't want your first opponent back to suffer some injury that you could potentially have been part of, because it just doesn't speak highly.
Right, and as I recall, I was watching it pretty well, and they cut away to the commentators after that match, so we really couldn't see whether or not Xia Li tried to get up or not. I mean, it didn't look like she potatoed her, to me.
No, it did not.
But
no,
it could be wrong. I mean, it sounded good, But that's all on Xia Li. Xia Li was told to make it sound good. You know, she was told to when she hits you with that punch, you go down like a ton of bricks, and that's the way it should be. You know, and she did it. Basically Xia Li took one for the team.
Well, she sure did. Again, logic would tell you that it had to be the punch because she seemed to be up and moving and active before the punch. But I watched the punch, and I don't think, like you said, it didn't look like she really struck her hard enough to hurt her. So the only thing I could think of is maybe she fell funny. And when she fell, she hurt some. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I know she just wasn't selling it because they wouldn't have taken her out through the crowd if she was selling it. They would have taken her out on the rampway, and they would have said, look, she needs attention after that women's right punch. They would have played that up. The fact that they hid it from you means, no, something happened. So we'll try to keep you updated on that. But aside from that, folks, I don't know. I mean, I don't like to give any TV show, wrestling TV show, an A+. Because there's always something you could have done better. But I have to tell you this. I enjoyed this SmackDown more than I've enjoyed SmackDown in a really long time. And I kept saying to myself, well, this is a good match. And they still got Ricochet and Walter and Gunther coming up, which I'm looking forward to. And then I'm like, oh, they're going to do this match? Well, this is a good match. And there was just one right after the other where I'm like, these are kind of important matches. And I'm watching it saying, gee, this feels important. It feels like these matches, there's a reason for these matches. It's not just you and you go out there and fight. Because that's what it used to feel like. And it still feels that way sometimes on Raw. But this week on SmackDown, it felt like these matches have a purpose. And I could actually suspend my disbelief and say somewhere there are the powers that be saying, well, we need to get a qualifying match for Money in the Bank. So these two are good because both of them should, you know, be good contenders for Money in the Bank. And the Sami Zayn thing, and we got a title match. And it makes me feel like I can suspend my disbelief and say, yeah, well, look, the general managers really did their job. They had a show booked. As opposed to, I want to fight so-and-so tonight. Okay, well, you're the main event, which basically means, well, I didn't have a main event. This week's show felt like it was booked ahead of time. This week's show felt like, yes, the general managers really sat down and said, these are the matches we are going into SmackDown with next week. And I wish they would do that every week. I wish they would. Because nothing makes me angrier than when something happens in the beginning of a show and they're like, I guess you're the main event, as if you didn't have one. As if you went on air and said, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do for the main event. Hope somebody sneak attacks somebody. I hate when that happens. So this week, Mike, I'm giving it an A. I think I'm not going to give it an A- or an A+. I'm just going to give it a flat-out A. There are a couple minor things I wish they'd done better, but I thought it was entertaining as hell.
I think it was entertaining as hell as well. And to tell you the truth, I got to give it an A as well. And that's the thing. I mean, minus the fact that we don't know what type of injury Xia Li has, because like you said, you know, it could be anything. It could be she turned her knee falling wrong or whatever, you know.
Yep.
And that's why they had to carry her through the crowd. It could be anything.
Yep.
It could be when she went down from the punch that she hit her head wrong. And she actually does have a concussion, but not from the punch, from her head hitting the mat, right? It could be that. So we don't know what it is. So, yeah, A. It's an A for me.
Yeah, and also, I'll tell you what else I loved. Whether you like the match or you don't like the match, they were promoting things for next week. Next week we're going to have Madcap Moss against Baron Corbin one more time. Max Dupree is actually going to be here and debut his guy, and you're like, okay. Plus, you know they're going to have another qualifying match for Money in the Bank, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, this is shaping up to be okay. It's shaping up like you actually got a plan. Like somebody actually sat down and said, let's book a month's worth of shows leading up to Money in the Bank. Holy cow. See how well it works out when you actually plan? I wish they would do this on a regular basis. I have no faith they will. Because every time I say this, they go right back to their old ways. But if they could continue this, SmackDown is going to go to a level well above Raw, because Raw has no consistency whatsoever. It's all over the map. It's just all over the map. It doesn't feel planned. It doesn't feel like anybody booked these. It just feels like it's all over the place. This felt good. This felt like a wrestling show where I was actually anticipating. I'm like, well, I'm going to have to sit through some matches I probably am not going to like to get to Ricochet and Gunther, which I'm interested in. And then I'm like, well, no, actually, I do like this match. It's a great match. Oh, they're doing this match? Well, this is going to be a really entertaining match, too. And I'm like, wow, we're getting all this plus the match I tuned in for. So I felt like they delivered, Tom. So I'm going to go with an A. What's your thoughts?
I'm going to give it an A. I'm not going to give it an A plus, but I'll give it an A only because everything that happened in the show was actually really entertaining, and it extended branches on the tree to a whole bunch of different things that happen in the future. Not only that, but it didn't seem rushed. It didn't seem, everything flowed very smoothly. The one thing you're going to laugh at this one, but, that's what I do. The one thing I was actually looking forward to was Dupree's appearance, because he really does, almost annoying, but it's funny because he invades Adam Pearce's personal space, because he's right up in his face, like talking in his eyeball. I really want to know who his guy is. And so the fact that they, he might have got lost in the shuffle and didn't, they ran short on time, or he really might have had, flight issues. But the fact that they're making us wait until next week, I was like, man, I was actually really looking forward to that, because that was entertaining to me, even though he invades personal space, which I don't like.
No, I was too, because I thought, well, you know what? They're going to, now on top of all these good things we're getting this week, we're going to get a look at Max Dupree's first guy, and they're going to give him some kind of push, so let's see who it is. And then I'm like, oh, man, that's not going to happen. But then again, it's just a tease for next week where you're like, okay, well, that's something to tune in to see. I've been told it could still be Mansoor. I hope it's not. I hope it's not. I'll tell you who I hope it is. I hope it's Dominik Dijakovic. Because if you take all the makeup off him and all the nonsense and all the Mad Max stuff off him, put him in like a suit and a tie and get his hair coiffed perfectly, he could potentially have that look of a male model. And I think he could do well with that gimmick. He's a big dude. And on top of being a big dude, he's a talented dude. And if you let him do what he really can do in the ring, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. And if there was any knock ever on Dijakovic, it was that he might not be great on the mic. Well, but Eli Drake is, Max Dupree is. So that would be the perfect combination for him. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to get an A as well. Like you said, it was a pretty good show. There were just some minor things it was not, either. And like you said.
Yeah, but overall, I think it was very strong. What do you think of the idea of maybe Dijakovic being the first person in Dupree's stable, Mike? I think he'd fit in very well.
I think so, too. I mean, who I'd like it to be, but he's not in the company anymore,
Right.
And basically, I like him or his partner, but his partner's in the NWA right now with basically doing the model thing there, with his tag team partner, so it can't be him. But who says it couldn't be that they couldn't have re-signed Tyler,
No, they absolutely could have, but I just think that if he's going to debut a guy, it should be someone big enough in stature that you say, okay, well, that guy's not joking. Because if it comes out to be like a sort of a, what's the right word for it? Feminine sort of a, I'm a male model and I'm so gorgeous and I'm so pretty. It might not have the same impact as, oh, okay, well, that guy's a monster. I mean, that guy's 6'7", 300 pounds. He's going to do somebody some damage. Male model my ass. That guy's going to put somebody in the hospital. I would rather see that, at least at first, because then that gives Max Dupree some credibility where you're like, okay, well, if you screw with him, you're not going to be dealing with a pansy sort of a character that plays like a, you know, pansy sort of character. You're going to be dealing with a monster. So he can talk his shit because you don't really dare say that much. I'd rather see that. Then later on, if he wants to add people who are the more pretty boy types, I'm okay with it. But that first guy, I think, Mike, should be somebody big enough and looking powerful enough so people say, all right, well, you probably can't be, you know, undermining Max Dupree too much because he does have a guy who'll tear your head off.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And I do agree with you, though. If he wants to come after let's say it is Jacoby, after he goes on his lengthy winning streak, you know, and he's destroying people, but he's looking good doing it, then you can bring in, you know, basically a Shawn Michaels type, smaller guy.
Yes.
I mean, that was basically Shawn Michaels' gimmick was I'm a sexy boy, you know, that type
yep.
of thing, right? So
yep.
you could bring in a Shawn Michaels type.
Yeah, no, you absolutely could. I just think because right now we need somebody that is in need of somebody to speak for. So I don't want them to use somebody who's like, well, that guy's great on the mic anyway, so now we're just not going to hear from him too much. I would rather they bring in somebody that you say, okay, good, because he's a good wrestler, but not so good on the mic, and now that you got Max Dupree to speak for him, yeah, that's going to help. I'm real curious, and that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. Now, I'm not really excited about the Madcap Moss-Baron Corbin thing. I don't know how many times you're going to do this match. This has got to be the end, right? This has got to be the last match, and then they both got to move on. But I guess if you want to put the exclamation point on this, you know, you're going to have Moss win again. Otherwise, he's going to lose his credibility. So, you know, I assume Moss is going to win. But if you are going to have more qualifying matches for Money in the Bank, which I assume you are, you're going to have this Moss and Corbin match, which is still going to be a decent match. You're going to have the Max Dupree reveal. There are reasons for me to tune in. This week was the first time in a long time that I said, I really want to tune into this because I'm very interested in this match between Ricochet and Gunther. I know Gunther's going to win, but I want to see to the extent he's going to win. I want to see how big they're going to make Gunther. Get his ass kicked the whole match and then just cheat to win, which means he's not going to be anything special, or is he going to dominate, or he's going to be like, oh, my God, they're going to let him beat almost everybody. So I was very curious, and that curiosity drove me to say, can't wait for SmackDown this week, and then you delivered with matches that I didn't know I wanted to see because I didn't even know they were on the card. That's why I say this was a well above average episode. Well above average. And I think you got a chance to make next week's well above average. So let's hope for the best here, and we will talk to you on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.